Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Speaking of which, watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off over the weekend.
Does it hold up?
No.
What?
It really doesn't.
Really?
It really doesn't. In this Me Too culture, it certainly doesn't. It's fine.
It's rape culture.
It's a nostalgia piece, is what it is.
Yeah.
So it's fun, but it you know, as a man in my late 40s at this point, it does not hold the same water for me. Because now I'm like, are adults really this fucking stupid?
No.
Yes.
We have a disagreement here. Yeah, the adults in that movie are stupid.
They're really stupid.
And by the way, Principal Rooney, I mean, what the fuck does this guy have to do? He's a Chicago area principal. He has nothing better to do all day than chase Ferris Bueller around.
Hey, get the fuck out of here, man.
Come on.
Like, you should be fucking fired.
And
like,
then,
if anybody should be fired, it should be you.
Well, and then when he's peeking in the house and he's standing up on the thing and he accidentally turns the hose on and then he uses it to hose the mud off of his shoe and off of his sock, instead of turning it off, motherfucker jams the hose down into the ground. I'm like, what the fuck is your problem?
Asshole.
So unbelievable. Anyway. So, before we get into too much frivolity, real shit's happening in the world. And one of the things that's happening is there have been, at least in the past week, several high-profile suicides. We got the death certificate for Avicii, just a couple days ago. Turns out he killed himself by cutting himself with glass.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to need to be closer to your mic, Kareem. That's how he ended it. Kate Spade hung herself, left a note for her 13-year-old daughter. Anthony Bourdain, killed himself in a hotel room in Paris. He was on location shooting his show for CNN. And so I just want to take a moment, and then I don't really want to get into the other person that, Jason, I know you know and I know a little bit, who was part of the Sacramento and then LA and then even some national acclaim in the comedy community, committed suicide in the past week. So I just want to say this, for everybody with your hot take that it's the most selfish thing you can do and all of that, keep it to yourself. Go ahead and think it. Don't throw it out there on social media. No one needs to hear it. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anything, because your reasoning and logic doesn't apply to somebody who's in a position where they feel like that's their only solution to what they're going through. So keep that shit to yourself. And if you're somebody who has had or is having any sort of feelings like that might be the answer for you, I really want to encourage you to do this right now. Go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org and bookmark it. Make it easy to get to. They have an 800 number you can call. It's 800-273-8255. They have an online chat that you can use if you don't want to do that. It's free. It's 24/7. It's confidential support for people in distress, prevention and crisis resources for you or your loved ones, and the best practices for professionals. So if you are even remotely in the headspace that, hey, maybe this is what I should do, keep that handy and use the resources.
Can I just for some people out there, maybe this will be what they need to hear, I don't know, but for myself, there's been two times in my life where I tried to kill myself, and the first time was probably more of an attention grabber when I was in sixth grade than anything else. But it did lead me to a time where I had to stay in a institution for a couple of weeks. When I was about 22, I was living with a bunch of Marines in 29 Palms, and I had used money for rent to fix my car, because if I didn't have a car, there was no way I was going to have any money at all.
Right.
Because I was 20 miles from the nearest anything.
Yeah, it's that it's that Sophie's choice that poor people make all the time. How do I handle the money that I don't have that it needs to go farther than it can go?
So I did that, and I used the money that I should have used for rent that I'd been given for rent, and the Marines came back and were very upset with me. They didn't kill me.
Clearly.
They didn't beat me up. There was no violence involved. They were all just very disappointed because they had looked at me as a brother, and I'd done that. A girl that I'd been seeing, I just started seeing one of the Marines. I was at the end of my rope, and I had nothing else. I was in the middle of nowhere, no family, no money, nobody in my... I had nobody in my family that I could communicate with. I was ready to hang myself, and I was at that moment where all I needed to do was take one step in front of me. And I started playing things in my head, you know, like thinking about the funeral. I started thinking about people, and I thought about my brother, and I thought about my sister, and about them having to relay that story or live with that or think about that. And that was the only thing at all that made me think and take pause about anything in the situation. And that pause was all I needed to make the determination that I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And that I needed to remove myself from that situation. And I'd suffered with depression for a number of years. If that is what happens and find yourself in that type of situation, sometimes just taking a moment to pause and think for a moment, maybe that's all you need. And I don't know.
The other thing about this site that I mentioned before, suicidepreventionlifeline.org, they also note that anyone can be struggling with it, and they have more specific resources. So you can click on some of these categories. Youth, disaster survivors, Native Americans, veterans, lost survivors, you lost a loved one, LGBTQ+, and attempt survivors, and the deaf of heart and hard of hearing. So there is help. There is always time to do it later. But once you do it, you can't take it back.
Yeah.
You can't take it back. You can always go back and go, you know what? Fuck it. And do it later. But you can't rewind. There's no do-over once you do it.
One of my friends from high school did it last year. He was a right-wing blogger for a gun site. And so I guess he would be like these... Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, where it looked like everything was good, and then just out of the blue.
Well, if you mentioned to me right-wing blogger for a gun site, I cannot imagine your conscience when a bunch of kids get shot up at a school.
Yeah.
And all of the social upheaval and defending of guns has to go on at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that would be the big thing. I mean, even if you are someone who believes in the Second Amendment and that it's cool for people to own guns, as many as they want, because that's what the Constitution says, to justify that against how many kids? How many kids this time?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and maybe that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I reached out to someone today. I'd been waiting because I didn't quite know what to say. And That's the other thing. If you've got friends you haven't heard from in a while, just reach out and say, hey. Maybe that's the lifeline that they're going to get.
Yeah.
To go from, oh, I'm just sitting here, you know, hanging out and I got no hope and nobody cares. And then suddenly you get a message from somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe it triggers a memory. Maybe it does something. Maybe it gives you that moment of pause Jason's talking about. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
I try to make it a habit of those people that pop into my head out of the blue random. Mm-hmm. I make it a habit of making sure that I contact them because you never know.
Right. Absolutely. So yeah, I can't say this enough. If you are someone who is struggling with these thoughts, set something up that if they start to get really intense, you can reach out easily. Set it up ahead of time. Make it a bookmark. Make it your home. When you open your browser on your phone, that's the first thing that comes up. Because you don't want to have to look for that in that moment, because you're just going to be frustrated if you can't find it. Make it easy to find. Hell, if you haven't done that, make it 911. And
yeah,
there are people to help. And I can say this with a great deal of certainty. There are people that care about you. There are friends and or family members that are going to feel awful if you're not there. So that said, and I'm not departing the subject at all at this point. We play a lot of Alex Jones on this show because he's insane. And he says a lot of really terrible and shitty things. Well, he might have reached a new low this week. There was someone sitting in, and he called in with a...
We've got news coming from Alex
breaking
Jones
news
right
report.
Alex on the phone line.
Breaking
Alex
news.
Jones, what is breaking?
All right, I'm going to take over right here, and I'm going to try to be as calm as I can, as I've got four pages of notes. So I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, covering undoubtedly some of the most dangerous information I've ever covered on air.
Where are you? You sitting in your house? Where are you? I'm right here. I'm trying to be calm. I got four pages of notes. You had time to make four pages of notes? How are you not calm? There's a lot of bullshit coming. I'm ready for it.
There's a reason they want to shut down InfoWars. And it's because they...
There's a lot of reasons to shut down InfoWars.
A lot.
There's a lot.
A lot.
You represent yourself as a news organization when you are nothing remotely like a news organization. You're a fucking merchant of fear, and you sell bullshit. Mostly you sell bullshit nutrition products, Alex Jones. Go on YouTube, search for the guy who tried to live like Alex Jones suggested for 30 days. See how much money he spent on supplements and other things that had no effect. Just go ahead and do it. And that's what InfoWars does. That's what Alex Jones is doing. He's selling supplements and other things to people that he scares.
They know that we're able to put out countervailing narratives to what they officially said.
Countervailing narratives. Those are lies and bullshit.
Anthony Bourdain, Tony Bourdain, is one of the most popular TV hosts in the world.
He's not, but okay.
He's the only successful thing on CNN.
Not true, but okay.
He dominated Netflix.
He didn't, but okay.
He has a little 9-year-old daughter. He just got remarried.
Bullshit. Anthony Bourdain did not just get married. He's been divorced twice. The only true thing in here is that he has a daughter.
Not even the age is right.
Correct. I believe the daughter's 13.
And then he dies in a crappy hotel room in Paris.
It was probably a nice hotel room. That's not really important, but it's also not true.
And CNN's Brian Stelter is the first to tell us that he died of suicide hanging himself. Now, I knew he'd been critical of Hillary. Said that, that she shouldn't have basically defended Weinstein. Said it was shameful. I knew he joked about feeding Trump hemlock. And I thought, you know, a lot of these rich, powerful Hollywood folks commit suicide. Maybe he did commit suicide. But I said the fact that he had a lot of powerful enemies, it should at least be investigated. I said that in a tweet.
Anthony Bourdain has a long history of depression. He's talked about it very openly.
And the fact that he felt like he had, he could do nothing else but what he was doing, even though he did not want to do that.
I was reading one thing from Anthony Bourdain about how he could have a bad hamburger and it would ruin his day, and he could be in a bad mood from that for several days. He goes, not even a terrible, just kind of a bad hamburger that didn't meet my expectations. It would just throw me into this tailspin.
It's time to do something different.
To make a suggestion that there is, I'm not going to play any more of this because it's absurd. There's not been one true thing in there yet. And if you want to know why CNN was the first one to report it, he's shooting his show for CNN in Europe. And the production crew couldn't get a hold of him. So they did what you do when you can't get a hold of your friend who's supposed to be in a hotel room. You go to the hotel and see what's going on. You do a welfare check. And who are they going to tell after his family? They're going to tell CNN. Yeah. They're going to call CNN and go, oh my God, Anthony killed himself. So, of course, the first person to report it is going to be someone from CNN. They're the first people to find out about it. And this festering boil on the ass of humanity wants to take that and try and turn it into something else. Fuck you. And InfoWars. Anyway.
So, with him being who he is, and with I don't know if we were going to cover Robert De Niro from last night.
Briefly, yeah.
These are those people. He's one of those people. He is the Trump supporters. He's those people. What the fuck do you, what do you expect? So what do you want us to say to those people to understand them? Who the fuck wants to understand this?
Right. He's a con man who deals in fear. His narrative that he's pushing is only to create this fear of this globalist empire and these deep state people that are coming to kill you. And that he's the only one who can keep you safe.
You remember when, like, Art Bell was like this,
Art Bell's harmless talk about UFOs?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that was good conspiracy. That was fun. Like, let's talk about some conspiracy theories and ideas. Like,
right.
Which is not what this is. And that's the thing is like, but this fills those people, it fills them.
And the worst part about this is how dishonest it is.
No, yeah.
If he legitimately believed this.
Right, yeah.
And he argued in court in his divorce case.
That he believed it.
That he does not believe this, that he's acting. That it's all a performance. He's almost as bad as Mike Huckabee, because Mike Huckabee's the fucking worst. I'm not getting past that. Anyway, our friend Derek Byrne posted on Facebook. We're going to get back to the humor in a moment here. He said, this is how I spend some of my free time, supporting conspiracy theories of Hillary haters. Look, anyone with half a brain knows the Clintons have had half a dozen people killed over the past 30 years. Lots of suspicious suicides, but thus far they've avoided prosecution. They're just that good. So it was only a matter of time, hours, before some super sleuth would piece the puzzle together and realize they are the most likely suspects in the suicides of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. Think about it. She was on the board of the Clinton Foundation. Maybe she was going to leak information about the poor recycling habits of their offices. Anthony, a mere month before his death, tweeted in the past he had run afoul of Hillary's heavies. They both died from hanging, which makes it obvious to me that she also had Michael Hutchins and Robin Williams killed. See, my theory in the photo comment, and I'll link to the article for the first comment on the Clinton killers. His comment, she definitely had Robin Williams killed because of Mrs. Doubtfire. She hated that movie. She also had Michael Hutchins of INXS killed because the song Original Sin was about the Clintons. All four of those victims hung themselves. Coincidence? I think not. There's as much logic in that piece of bullshit that he threw out there to fuck with people. There's more logic in that than anything Alex Jones has said. I joined in and reminded him that he forgot about David Carradine.
You did.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. So.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
He was kung fu fighting his penis in the closet is what he was doing. I don't believe David Carradine fully intended to kill himself. I think he fully intended to have the most intense orgasm ever.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
Well, you know, you live, you learn. All right. So, over the weekend, a bunch of people watched the Tony Awards later when they heard something happen. But all the people talking about the Tony Awards, I'm like, fuck you, you weren't watching the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
Because you know who watches the Tony Awards? No one watches the Tony Awards. There's a bunch of people in New York. Yeah. I mean, it is Pride Month, so there are other people watching.
And then every theater, like...
Oh, my God.
Every theater class in, like... every. So, I mean, there are a lot of people, but it's still such a small...
Relatively speaking, it's no MTV Movie Awards.
No, it is not an MTV...
This is what I'm saying to you. So, basically, Robert De Niro, who didn't really care for how our president conducted himself in Canada at the G7 summit over the weekend, had some things to say as he was introducing Bruce Springsteen. And why the fuck is Bruce Springsteen at the Tonys?
Because he had a musical.
No.
A show.
Oh, okay.
Show. Yeah.
You're so gay. And not that that's a bad thing. I can't say that during Pride. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Hashtag me too. So here's what De Niro had to say.
I'm going to say one thing. Fuck Trump.
We have the uncensored version because Australia just let it slide. They're like, yeah, yeah, yes, preach. They're standing.
It's no longer down with Trump. It's fuck Trump.
So there you go. That's what happened at the Tonys.
So I'm watching the news this morning, and they're like, "Oh, this is like red meat for Trump supporters. This is what they say about the liberal elites." Like, no, this is fuck. Like, look, you're not winning those people over. News media, you're not winning them over.
No.
You are not winning those people over.
Absolutely not.
So, not only fuck Trump, but fuck them too.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
Fuck them too. As a black man, fuck every Trump supporter in America.
We have a president that would... fuck Trump.
All right, so you're in the pro De Niro category. Got it?
Still, man. Every time.
No matter how many bad movies he makes, you're still there.
I'm still, you know why? Because
Bobby D.
Because all those awesome and great movies that he made, and A Bronx Tale, man. Oh my God. Like, I love that movie, man. That was the shit.
And I'm not saying it because I'm a fan. I'm saying it because I agree with him.
Sure.
Fuck Trump.
All right. I believe some of the people that attended the G7 summit would say something similar, although they'd be more diplomatic about it. For instance, France, they pledged on Sunday to stand by the G7 summit statement, which was disowned by Donald Trump, and took a swipe at the U.S. president by declaring that international cooperation could not depend on, and I quote, fits of anger or little words. Apparently incensed by remarks about the U.S. tariffs at the closing press conference on Saturday by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Trump, who left early, tweeted that he had instructed U.S. officials not to endorse the final communique, which had already been agreed and published.
And they wrote part of it.
Right? So in a statement on Sunday, French President Emmanuel Macron's office said all of Europe would continue to stand behind the communique, which included a commitment by the seven leading industrialized democracies to a, quote, rules-based international trading system and a pledge to continue to fight protectionism. Saying, we spent 2 days to obtain a text and commitments. We will stand by them, and anyone who would depart from them once their back was turned shows their incoherence and inconsistency. Trump was not mentioned by name in that. So not impressed. I did see a photo, and I'm not sure if it's fake. It might be.
Is not. Well,
the handshake that left the thumbprint.
Oh, that one I can't say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a photo going around of Macron shaking Donald Trump's hand. And there's a series of them. And you can see Macron's got a really good grip on him because Trump's known for his ridiculous handshakes.
Yeah.
And when the handshake ends, you can clearly see a thumbprint on Trump's hand where the hard handshake was. I don't know if that's real. That could be conjuring on the internet. It could totally be.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So that is the most, one of the most read articles on the site that I'm on, which is, politico.eu, the second most, and I'm going to, pull a little, audible here. Angela Merkel on Trump's G7 show says it's depressing. Welcome to America. She told the German public television, the situation isn't very nice. I don't think that ratcheting up the rhetoric is going to improve things. Now, she's been frustrated by Trump pretty much since he took office. She said, sometimes I get the impression that the U.S. president believes that only one side wins and the other loses, adding that she believes in win-win situations.
I swear I believe that Putin is watching the P-tape every time he calls Donald Trump. I think he's watching it and has it.
You
playing.
Can hear
it
in the audio.
You can
the
hear audio in the background every time he calls Donald Trump.
It's really unbelievable.
It's really strange how, like, it's almost like another axis of evil, like this being created. Like seriously though, I mean, like,
so he just threw out there, let's bring Russia back into the G7 and make it the G8 again.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Right.
There's a P tape. There is a tape.
There's something.
There is a tape some fucking where.
If it's not P, it's him cutting a hooker up.
It's something. There is a tape somewhere.
By the way, you know what I want to do? If I could bring someone back from the dead, you know who I would right now? Fred Trump. Donald Trump's dad. And you know what I would do? I would kick him in the nuts. Right square in the nuts. Be like, look what you fucking did, you asshole.
Yes.
You left us all with this motherfucker. Who doesn't understand how actual business works, where it's mutually beneficial? Fuck you, Fred Trump.
But you don't realize that that's all that dude knew also.
Oh, fuck you for making an excuse for Fred Trump.
No, I'm saying...
No, fuck you.
No, I'm not making an excuse. I'm saying...
You just made an excuse. Did you not just
he
make
just
an,
made
excuse?
An excuse?
I made an excuse for, like, there's no reason to kick... Like, you want to go get his grandfather and fucking kick him in the nuts because this is a fucking family tradition of, like, being fucking
Fred.
Assholes.
We can still kick Fred in the nuts.
Kick him all in the nuts. What I'm saying is, like, really, what do you think he learned it from? Trump didn't just learn to be this way. This is from his dad, who learned it from his dad.
Fred Trump.
Fuck all the Trumps. Fuck all of them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a P-tape. It's somewhere out there.
There's something.
I'm telling you, every time Vladimir Putin calls Donald Trump, the P-tape is playing in the back, just loud enough for Trump to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that he can remind him every time that he talks to him, that I got this.
That he can hear his own voice.
He can hear his own voice.
Yeah.
Every time. That's exactly what's going on. Because you cannot explain this any other way.
Look, we know how dangerous conspiracy theories can be. So I'm going to buy into this one. Cause they can't all be fake.
I think it's even more sinister than that. I think that there's, a whole thing where, he thinks that he can seize control of the United States and everything
Putin?
No. Trump thinks that by aligning himself with people like Putin and like, Kim Jong and, the guy that's the president of, in charge, the leader of China, what's his name?
I do not know the Mao Chinese.
Xinping or something.
I don't know the president of China. I'm sorry.
He thinks he's them.
No, he wants to hang out with them because he wants to be them.
He wants to be a dictator.
He wants to try to implement. He's going to do whatever he can to keep that, like.
He wants to run the country like a business, where he gets to make whatever little fucking decision he wants, everybody has to do his bidding.
And he
doesn't want to run it like a corporation.
Yeah, no,
he wants to run it like his business.
His family owned business.
His family owned business that is a money laundering business. That's what it is.
Allegedly, but yeah.
He's not selling the shit. Nobody's buying his shit. He is running a money laundering business.
Oh, and American banks won't loan him money.
He is running a business. He is running that, like I said before, he's running that construction company that bids on something low enough that nobody else will fuck with it. They get it. They change order you to fucking death. They get a payment and then they file for fucking bankruptcy.
Oh, and they don't pay any.
And they don't pay anything in the workers.
Yeah, and that's exactly. And that's a legit thing.
That is exactly who that guy is.
I know.
That's the way he's trying to run the country.
Yeah. No. And every time he says something, he buying and selling stock. Like, he has his people doubling the money. Like,
okay. Hold on. I want to talk about the stock market for a fucking moment because I got an IRA report today in the mail. And let me tell you about the booming fucking stock market for a second.
Oh.
So I have an IRA that's worth roughly $20,000. Since January 1st, and there was a little blip on April 1st, but from January 1st to June 1st, it lost $54. And it's a growth fund. It's in growth. 80% of it's in growth stocks. 80% of it's in growth stocks. Tell me how great the fucking stock market is. Eat my ass.
I'm not saying it's. I'm saying like, but he's putting. He knows where to put the money in and out. Like when he says things and when he makes.
Yeah, comments. Ivanka and Jared have done very well. They made $84 million last year.
That's what I'm saying. They manipulate the stock market by saying things whenever they need to. And like they have their people buying and selling and making the money.
No, they're getting their money from foreign governments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that too.
they're getting their money from foreign governments
and banks
Any way they can make the, I'm telling you, any way they can make the money, they're doing it.
The stock market is going to crash.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're ignoring him. And I was watching, like I said, I was watching news early this morning, and dude said it, but I had already thought it. They're ignoring him. They're trying to pretend like he doesn't exist and what he's doing has no effect on the stock market.
They're treating him the way you treat the guy on the street corner who's yelling things to himself.
Yeah. They're doing it like it's not going to come back to bite them in the ass. The tariffs are going to come back and bite you in the ass. They've already started.
Oh yeah. And the people they're going to bite the hardest are going to be farmers.
Steel workers.
Here's the thing. Here's the great thing about your steel. Oh, we're going to have American steel. The problem is, they can't make enough American steel. So the steel workers will be doing better, but all the industries that rely upon steel are going to do far worse.
Yes. And these people aren't putting tariffs just to put tariffs. They're putting tariffs on the places that voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese are strategic about their shit.
Yeah.
The Chinese are putting their tariffs specifically in the states that voted for Trump.
It's going to be good to be from California, bitches.
Specifically, that is what they're doing. That they are pointedly doing that, and these other countries are following suit. You gonna fight Canada about a fucking dairy tariff that's like a point on a percentage of our economy?
Well,
I can't sell my milk in Canada.
It's because there's a few dairy farmers that he knows he can get, like, exactly. I know that it's stupid.
It's him posturing.
It's him posturing. Yeah, it's stupid. Well, and I just read that the Mexico's putting a tariff on apples, and that's 25% of our export goes to Mexico.
And then he threw out last week, well, let's just take away all the tariffs and all the subsidies. Do you realize how much the United States subsidizes more than anybody? The reason why come the countries in Central and South America can't make money is because they can't sell their fruit on the market at their prices because the United States prevents them from doing that. Do you understand that?
Oh yeah, no.
I mean, they don't really, he doesn't really get that. That's the thing. We prevent those countries from selling their stuff the way they want to and the way where they would have a shit market, big market share.
I know. And now they're going to discover it.
If you take away the, all of the tariffs and all of the subsidies from the, oh, we can't compete anywhere. Anywhere.
It becomes problematic.
Good thing we're in California.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it softens the blow, yes.
Yes.
Oh, no. apparently, Dennis Rodman was on CNN crying. I don't know what's happening. Apparently, the negotiations are going poorly.
Apparently.
I love how Trump said that he would know within the first minute how the negotiations were going with Kim. It's like, you're an idiot. You're a complete idiot. I'm not calling up the video. I'm just seeing a Facebook status that said Dennis Rodman is crying on CNN. I guess you just have to have a sense of humor these days. Who's making Dennis Rodman cry? Why are you making Dennis Rodman cry? What's going on?
You know, Kim is his buddy, his pal.
It's true. It's the only time I will go, you know what? This almost makes sense to have Dennis Rodman there. Because he's the only person who's actually talked with Kim.
Yeah.
And might be able to go, dude, you're pissing him off.
Yeah.
You might want to dial it back. That's pretty sad. Anywho, I'm, you know, I was going to say I'm done with Trump, but I'm not. So CM Punk, who had his second UFC fight this past weekend, it didn't go well.
Oh yeah,
it didn't go well.
Oh yeah,
He was brought to the hospital.
Oh,
it was a bad time.
It was a very bad time.
You know, here's the thing: CM Punk really good at wrestling, not really good at MMA fighting.
No, not at all.
It doesn't help that he's in his late 30s and the people he's competing against are much younger and have been training at it for
their whole lives.
So none of that helps, but. CM Punk, or Phil Brooks, if you prefer, that's his real name, 0-2. Someone asked him in one of the press conferences leading up to the fight if he would accept an invitation to visit Donald Trump at the White House. So I'm wrapping up our Donald Trump segment of the show with this.
A lot's been made on this White House trip. What do you make of it? Would you accept a trip to the White House if invited?
Interesting question. Number one, I would not be invited. Number two, no, I would not go.
Just no reason to?
No, I'm not. David Duke invites me over for, tacos. I'm not going to David Duke's house. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Let's call it like I see it.
Sure.
You know, racist is a racist. I don't care if you're in the White House or, you know, you live down the street from me. Like, I'm not hanging out with you.
Okay, so that's pretty damning, even from a guy who's about to get his head kicked in. Yeah.
I'm a fan no matter what.
Right. Here's what I will say. I cannot get out of my head the idea of David Duke throwing a taco party now.
See, I was like, David Duke would definitely throw like a hot dog party.
Right.
Yeah. He would not throw a taco party.
But if he did, let's say he got food trucks. He got food trucks and they mixed up and he got two and one of them was a taco truck because that was the only other one that was free. That was the only other one that was free. Everyone loves tacos, but it's at David Duke's house.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be going anyway.
No?
It's a mistake to happen. like you said, it had to be a mistake in the first place for that.
Again, I'm never getting that image out of my head, David Duke with a taco.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Speaking of tacos, Rudy Giuliani...
Because he's crunchy or soft?
Oh, no, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
He spurred criticism from the sex work community for comments that he made about the porn industry. So basically, last Wednesday, he was trying to discredit Stormy Daniels, who's suing the president over a dispute stemming from a brief affair that she alleges she had with Trump in 2005, along with asserting that Daniels lacks credibility due to her profession. He said, I'm sorry I don't respect a porn star in the way I respect a career woman or a woman of substance or a woman who isn't going to sell her body for sexual exploitation. Here's the thing. He was on a panel of women at that point. They weren't having it. For a moment, they were like, you could see the look in their eye, like, yeah. And then they went, wait a minute. It's okay if we say this, but you can't fucking say that, you asshole. the five adult performers that the Huffington Post asked for a response, on the attack on credibility of porn stars. Joanna Angel said, the only people I'm screwing are consenting individuals on film and not an entire country. Whitney Wright, women working in the adult film industry are extremely career minded. Yeah. Lotus Lane said, we are among the most brave, honest, direct, and upfront people I've ever met in my life. And Ashley Sinclair said, embracing my sexuality on top of my life's accomplishments is apparently a threat to some. And, Courtney Trouble, from the Trouble family, we should have known that this is where she'd end up with a name like that, said very succinctly, sex workers are business people. You dipshit. By the way, Donald Trump had sex workers on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? He had a couple of them.
Ron Jeremy was on, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, Donald Trump thought they'd be okay for The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And he thought he would be okay for having sex with.
And exactly. I mean, sure, your wife just had a baby and she's all the way at home.
So you done paid. Oh, and then he was in the softcore porn, unfortunately.
Are you talking about that robe?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus. All right, I lied. I have one more sort of Trump-related thing. This might be the best thing you ever hear on Fox News. They are reporting on the arrival of Trump in Singapore for the summit. Now listen carefully. It comes a little bit into this tape.
About to walk down those stairs, stepping foot in Singapore as we await this historic summit with the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Anthony, talk to us about this moment. I mean, this is history. We are living, regardless of what happens in that meeting between the two dictators, what we are seeing right now, this is history.
Did you catch that? Let me play it again for you.
This is history.
Yeah, because he's a disruptive.
It's a little early.
What happens in that meeting between the two dictators, what we are seeing right now.
Slipped right by a lot of people. The meeting between two dictators.
Dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And with that handshake, President Trump has done something that no other president has done. Legitimized the brutal dictator of North Korea, the most repressive regime in the world.
Congratulations, only you, Donald Trump. Only you.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, you asshole. Anyway, all right. You guys heard of 21 Savage?
I have.
All right, Jason.
Unfortunately.
Jason, have you heard of 21 Savage?
No.
Well, 21 Savage is apparently a rapper.
Mm.
I don't know why. I don't know why I have the cadence of Barack Obama when I say. I really don't. Let me call up one of his songs here so that you can bask in the genius of 21 Savage. It's 2-1 and then the word savage. This was the song with 428 million plays on Spotify, which is good for about $135 and royalties. Called bank account. I buy a new car for the beat, for real. I tell down the mind with the beat, for real. You can't even talk to the beat. Headline from TMZ, 21 Savage flashes gun in pool party brawl. I be Gucci down. You wearing the car some shit. 21 Savage quickly went from being empty-handed to locked and loaded with a gun this weekend after a fight broke out at a pool party that he attended in Georgia. Savage was partying it up Saturday at an annual rager in the Atlanta area called, are you ready for it? Big Ass Pool Party. When a large group of people crashed the event through the back, eyewitnesses tell us that Sav appeared uneasy at the unexpected entrance and that all hell broke loose when a person from the other camp said hi to a girl in Savage's circle. Of course, that upset his side. Apparently, someone from the Crashers crew pulled out a gun when confronted, which led Savage to arming himself, too. Someone handed him a gun. And he was just holding it down at his side. It wasn't like he was pointing it or doing anything like that. No shots were fired, but someone from the invading group was hit to the ground. Cops eventually shut it down, and there were no words on any arrests. Okay. In my bank account. Jason, you like the hip hop. What do you think of the 21 Savage? 428 million plays, by the way.
It's a different time. No, I mean, like, you're kind of like
it's a different time.
I liken this to that music to
you just defended Fred Trump again.
To Luke. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I have no opinion either way. It's not there's some rap music that I'm I get it.
Yeah.
Most of it I'm like, it's not for me.
There's a certain point where I don't know. I'm not the age where I'm gonna like probably like that.
Sure.
You know, I just because of what they're talking about. Like, but at the same time though, like it's ridiculous because if I listen to Mac Dre, where he talks about slicing some people up like some roast beef meat, like, like, and that it's not his job. My favorite line is, a bitch once asked me to go grocery shop. I said, no siree, Bob. That's not my job. I don't do that. I'm a pimp/rapper. I thought you knew that.
fantastic.
But that's like from the two, like, you know, I mean, and that guy died in a, like, by the gun. Like, I mean, he was a real, like, he was what he was. Like,
oh,
he,
apparently 21 Savage has a tattoo of a knife on his face.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, though, but the same time, like, Mac Dre comes from a time where, like, during the crack epidemic, like, you know what I mean? Like, he grew up in Vallejo. In the crack epidemic. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole different lifestyle and life that came about during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know.
I'm just asking if the music is good.
No. Well, what I'm saying is I'm not going to be able to connect to it like the way that I can understand and connect to that because I don't see what.
So it's not good is what you're saying.
It's Luke. That's what it is. It's Luke for my generation. And all Luke talked about was bouncing booties and yeah, it's music that you throw on and you move to it. That's pretty much it. If you think anything else beyond that, then you got some problems.
No, yeah. No Pulitzer Prize on for
no Pulitzer Prize.
No, not really. Yeah, no.
Just checking.
Yeah.
So Kareem, you've been wanting to hear from Whitney Cummings.
Yes,
we've heard from Whitney Cummings.
It's about time because I've been calling her out every fucking time I see her on Twitter.
You have been calling Whitney Cummings out. TMZ caught her at the airport. She addresses the idea of a Roseanne reboot. There is a kind of a hang up on that. So, they reported last week that it was almost imminent and now, so Whitney left before the whole Roseanne blow up. So you can kind of surmise from her reaction that something happened to piss her off and that's why she left. I'll just let you hear it in her own words.
How do they move forward with this show? Because there's this talk of this reboot. You left before all this happened, right?
I quit months ago, yeah.
I know.
So I don't know.
Was part of you, like, did you, like, see the writing on the wall a little bit with her?
I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yes? A little bit?
I mean, I don't really know what to say, other than, it's a real shame for everyone, all the cast and crew are so proud of the work that we did and we made a really
And you did. It was fucking phenomenal.
Thank you.
As a writer,
yeah.
Someone that is familiar with the whole situation. Is it even possible? Let's be honest. Is it even possible to write it without her? It's that's her daughter. That's her grandkid. That's right. Her.
I love that the TMZ pap is like, now, be honest.
Yeah.
Who are you, dude? You're interviewing her next to the bus pulling away to begin with, and now you're following her to her car.
You know, like, is that possible?
You know, I think that everyone is just so desperate to preserve the legacy of a show that touched so many people and with such incredible actors on the right. show that, you know, made time to come back and so many writers. So, you know, everyone's trying to just stop the bleeding and preserve all the damage that has been done. But my heart's broken about it, so I don't really have words at the moment. But maybe they can salvage the legacy in some way. But if it benefits her financially...
it's a bad move, right?
Yeah, it's a bad move.
But would you come back on, now that since she's out of the picture, if they say, Whitney, a lot of it was from you. Like, let's bring you back.
Yeah,
and not Roseanne, but now bring you back. Would you think about it?
I have too many gray hairs in my head from this whole experience. And I'm doing my own thing and trying to make my own show and doing stand up and you know, I'm just trying to heal from the whole thing and make sense of it all. I was just as horrified as everybody else and really heartbroken about it. So I'm just trying to put the pieces together.
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
I gotta know.
Uh-oh.
Would you kill her off if you had to rewrite it? You gotta kill her off. You gotta do maybe like something epic. How would you do it?
How would you do it?
I don't know. Hey, would it have to be humorous, or do you have
humorous killing of a woman?
Yeah, like something funny. I don't know.
Hashtag me too.
I can't think of any funny ways to kill Roseanne, but I don't even want to think about it. I don't even.
That's terrible.
Killing her would mean I have to think about her, and I don't even want to do that right now. I'm too pissed off.
Something happened, and I want to know what the fuck it was. Now, the first run of Roseanne, the very first run, she was famous for running off producers and writers.
Yes.
Being incredibly difficult to work with.
That's so, why she eventually had to marry a guy and then make him a producer.
And then she ran him off.
And then she ran him off.
Still running him off. I need to know, but I'm just saying, I need to know what happened. I need to know why Whitney Cummings left. Exactly. Because I'm not going to rest until I know.
Wanda Sykes knows.
Yeah, but Wanda ain't talking. You think Wanda's talking? Kareem, do you think Wanda's talking? Especially Whitney, especially telling Whitney's story?
No. And Wanda might be where I am with Whitney right now. Again, yeah. Fuck Whitney.
Yeah.
Because she didn't say, she punked out again when she had an opportunity to say something. She punked out, so no.
She's just not saying anything.
Yes.
She's protecting the career.
What career?
What career? She's doing okay for herself.
No. You're right. She is. She has enough clout to tell the truth. And Roseanne is not, look.
But does she feel that she has enough clout to tell
Roseanne,
the truth?
Roseanne.
Well, I think that
Roseanne would have been the thing that would kept her from speaking out. Roseanne's power in Hollywood.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if you're somebody who works with and thinks you may work again with a big star, do you betray what happens behind closed doors knowing that the next big star will probably pass on you maybe being their head writer? Because they don't want their dirty laundry out there.
She doesn't have to air the dirty laundry.
No. I understand what you're saying. But if she says anything, the next person, when they bring up Whitney Cummings, will be like, no, that bitch talks. But I'm just saying.
I get you. But if you're not an ally, you're the other side. She is doing the white woman thing, and she's copped out. That's what she did.
Okay, so we mentioned a minute ago that Dennis Rodman was crying on CNN. We have the tape now.
To everybody, I said, the door will open.
I remember you saying it. Let me ask you something. Does Kim understand?
He's wearing a Make America Great Again hat, by the way. Dennis Rodman, not the CNN guy.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. When I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in our career. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home. But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change. I knew it. I was the only one. I never had no one to hear me. I didn't know one had to see me. But I took those bullets. I took all that. I took everything. Everyone came at me, and I'm still standing. And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
It is a great day. This is a historic day.
I'm so happy.
All right. So I need you guys to comment on one thing, not the crying. Dennis Rodman's wearing ladies' sunglasses, right?
Yeah.
My wife gets mad at me because I notice shit like that. She says, why are you fixated on that? I don't know. That's what my brain goes to. He's on there crying, had to hide out for 30 days. He was getting death threats. This is a great day. By the way, don't agree with him that it's a great day. Don't do that. It's a historic day. Don't concede it's a great day. It's a historic day. But those are ladies' sunglasses. They are totally ladies' sunglasses. Let me play it a little bit for you. They had, hold on, let me back it up so you can see them from the side. Because it becomes very clear that they're ladies' sunglasses when you see it from behind. By the way, that's, there they are.
Yeah.
Those are ladies' sunglasses. By the way, you could hear the TV in the background a little bit. That's what it sounds like when Putin calls Trump.
Yeah.
We've come all the way. That's why this show is fantastic. Because we came all the way around for some pretty heavy shit at the beginning.
To
that. I'm just saying. Not everybody can do that. We can do that. That's 599 shows. That's right. The 600th episode is Friday. So get ready for that. All right, a couple of quick things to get to here before we get to small town news. Let's knock these out.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Headline, man and his monkey are caged by cops.
Was he spanking it? The monkey.
I get jokes. A man was arrested for auto theft and had a small diaper-clad monkey clinging to his chest when Florida cops apprehended him after he drove the Hot Wheels into a ditch. There you can see him. Investigators allege that Cody Blake Hessian, who's 23, took a vehicle from a driveway in the St. Petersburg residence. The keys to the unlocked auto were on the floorboard. Oh, you're just asking to have it stolen then. He then drove the car about 35 miles to Holiday, a Tampa St. Pete suburb, where he drove off the edge of a parking lot into a ditch. Or did the monkey drive into the... I'll tell you what, this time, Baxter, you get to drive. When the sheriff's deputies detained him after he'd fled the vehicle, there was a leashed capuchin monkey attached to his pink polo shirt. Of course there was. He told deputies that he had obtained the male monkey named Monk years ago from a breeder in South Carolina where he previously lived. Since he did not have an exotic animal permit, the monkey was placed in the custody of Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. The animal was subsequently transported to the Suncoast Primate Sanctuary. At one point, a deputy uncuffed Hessian so he could sign paperwork and say your goodbyes to the monkey, who was then placed in a pet carrier. Mm. But not before Hessian requested a kiss on the lips from Monk.
Oh, God.
One deputy's body camera recorded the interaction between the man and his monkey. It's sad when a man and his monkey are parted. Just ask Ross Geller from Friends.
Marcel.
Also in Florida, a man just passing through offered his best explanation for why he was driving with a concealed hatchet. Man's from Kentucky. He had a hatchet hidden in his car. He told police he needed the weapon for protection from, and I quote, scumbags in Florida.
Why are you in Florida if you're afraid?
I mean, he's got it kind of right now.
I can't argue. I cannot argue with him. He's 23 as well. Travis Byerly was arrested following a traffic stop in Clearwater. His license was suspended back in April. Oh, due to drunk driving back in Kentucky. During the stop, the Clearwater Police Department officer found a concealed hatchet axe shoved between the driver's seat and the door hidden from sight. When asked about the weapon, he referred to unnamed Florida scumbags. Well, clearly, he's one of our listeners. he was charged with a concealed weapon and driving with a suspended license. Those are both misdemeanors. He was freed from jail after a relative posted $400 bond. Oh, he has a rap sheet. It includes multiple arrests. He's currently serving a probation term in connection with a 2016 felony conviction for possession of a forged instrument. It was a phony clarinet, I tell you. And one more thing before we get to small town news. Kareem, you're a Steelers fan.
Yes.
Who is the best quarterback in Steelers history?
Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw has some words about the Eagles in this whole Donald Trump thing. We'll get to that in just a second. He's sticking up for them. Which is going to be fun going back to that Fox football set.
Yeah.
With, you know who's going to give him shit? Jerry Jones. You know Jerry Jones is going to give him shit.
What do you think about the whole Philadelphia Eagles and the Trump situation?
Yeah, I agree with the Eagles. Totally, 100%. Trump just needs to, you know, he just needs to go somewhere and enjoy the money he's got. My wife's over here going, look at her.
Do you agree? Like, beautiful. Oh, you're beautiful.
Don't ask her a question. Don't go over. I totally agree with you.
Raise your hand. I agree with you, Terry.
You know what's so bad about that whole event?
Yeah.
How they were portrayed as protesting, dealing during the national anthem when they were praying. That is just wrong.
It's wild, right?
Totally. Listen, First Amendment rights, I'm totally believing.
I'm with you, Terry. Thank you.
He's a player first.
No, you got to go sit on next to Michael. Oh, the set next to Michael Strahan.
That's true.
Strahan's big ass.
It's true. There are more black men on that set than white men.
And Howie Long's son is a white guy who's really behind the Eagles, or the white guy on the Eagles who's really supporting the black guys on the Eagles.
Chris Long?
Yeah.
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 So he learned it from somewhere.
Yeah.
All part of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up this show.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Chris Long is Howie Long's son.
Yep. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
You apparently don't follow football.
I don't. I follow football once a year.
I don't follow the football. That's fine. We don't expect that of you. All right, so we're going to go full circle on this one. To Grand Forks, North Dakota, where food critic Marilyn Haggerty, who went viral for the first time back in 2012 after penning a glowing review of her local Olive Garden. Well, she has nothing but kind things to say about Anthony Bourdain, who was one of the first people to publicly support her. She said, "I went viral because there were hundreds and hundreds of comments after the column I wrote about the Olive Garden coming to Grand Forks. I was overwhelmed with the attention I was getting." By the way, she's in her 90s now. I believe 94 is what we found out a few weeks ago. After being sent to New York, where the food columnist appeared on the Today Show and Anderson Cooper 360, she had a meeting with Bourdain, who had previously defended her against online trolls, praising her, quote, triumph over snarkologists, myself included. He later wrote that Marilyn Haggerty's years of reviews represented a history of dining that too few of us from the coasts have seen. She said, "I think he wanted to know how kooky I was." That's fair. Recalling their meeting, the food writer says that they met for coffee at a hotel, and after spending an hour or two together, he decided he wanted to publish a book of my reviews. I thought he was very handsome. He was nicely dressed and just easy to sit with, she shares with people. He was a very pleasant person to be with. He said at first he thought it was just weird that I would write about the Olive Garden coming to Grand Forks, but then he said the more he thought about it, he believed I was telling the story of how people eat in this area of the country, the Midwest, in the small towns and what foods are important or interesting to them. Hold on one second. Go away, you. All right. And...
Ready to gun you down. Yeah, ready to gun you down. Yeah, ready to gun you down. Yeah, ready to
in the small towns and what foods are important or interesting to them. She added that Bourdain knew I had been writing this column for 10 to 20 years. We talked about everything, she continues, describing the conversation about Bourdain's daughter, who's now 11, who had just celebrated her fifth birthday at the time. He said he had a party for her, and he didn't have a good time. That was because he had invited adults, and she didn't enjoy that. So he planned another party for the next Saturday. He was going to invite the kids. Bourdain ended up publishing a book of columns by Haggerty under his publishing imprint Echo in 2013. He also wrote the foreword for the book, which is called Grand Forks, A History of American Dining in 100 Reviews. Said it was something very great that happened to me because I had the chance to meet Anthony Bourdain. In the book's introduction, Bourdain praised Haggerty for her flinty, dry, very sharp sense of humor, adding that she misses nothing and that he would not want to play poker with her for money. This is a straightforward account of what people have been eating, still are eating in much of America, as realized by a kind, good-hearted reporter looking to pass along much useful information as she can, while hurting no one. He added, this book kills snark dead. By the way, I just want to point out, for anybody who thinks otherwise about small town news, the whole point is to make people realize that this is the news going on in these places. It's not to make fun specifically of small town news. We do that occasionally, but it's always good-hearted.
Yes.
I think we were all devastated when Gordy Little fell in the river.
My heart still hurts for that.
We lost Gordy Little. That was terrible for a lot of reasons, because Gordy Little was a really great dude, and he provided a lot of content for the show. But make no mistake, small town news is not us cutting down small towns. It's just, hey, this is what's going on. It's important that you realize you got it pretty good where you are. Because in other places, they're excited the Olive Garden is coming.
Yes.
You could live somewhere where everyone is really excited that the Olive Garden is coming.
Chris remembers when Applebee's opened up in, the town? Watertown.
When Applebee's opened in Plattsburgh, New York, everybody was so excited.
Yeah, she said that, she'd go to eat there anytime she could. The food was great. And then we went back. We went to Applebee's on Arden, 3 years ago. She's like,
sure.
Is the food always been this way? Or am I just, my palate's just developed? And I just experienced more food.
Did you explain to her that this is the way Applebee's food has always been?
I said that that there's a possibility that it's gone down since they started putting stuff in the freezer section. And getting they're big enough now where they can get pre-made stuff. Like Cisco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
dude, they were getting Cisco trucks back then.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing them.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess it's always been the same.
Yeah. Hasn't changed. It's just when you're in a small town, you've got whatever local restaurants you have, and most of them are pretty mediocre. They're okay.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, look at this place. It's new.
Or even the suburbs. Like, I mean, I think that the people in Sacramento sometimes don't understand how good they have it. Like, being the size we are, with the number of different crazy awesome fresh food eateries that are around here.
Listen, I live in West Sacramento, just over the river. Now, we have two of the greatest restaurants in the Sacramento area in the Flaming Grill and Chondo's, who's moved their world headquarters to West Sac. So we have two of the greatest eateries in the area, and we've got a bunch of very mediocre other choices. Now, if Sacramento weren't, I don't know, a half mile over the river there, then it would be a bummer. If I was like, oh God, I got a 40-minute drive to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I'd be one of those people that complains that I don't understand how it works downtown. All these streets going all these directions.
That's right, because me and Nate come from places where you really had to go somewhere to get somewhere.
You ain't kidding.
And I've lived in those places also.
Dude, but you lived in 29 Palms.
Yeah. But I also did live. I mean, this is the thing. I've been very lucky in traveling and living around the world the way I have.
We called it going to town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had to I grew up in the suburbs, so I could ride my bike wherever I wanted to go. But I still would have to ride 2-3 miles to go to the McDonald's if I wanted to go to McDonald's. Because it wasn't right on the corner. And right now I'm like 5 blocks from Jack in the Box.
That was a 10-mile bicycle ride one way.
Yeah, as I said, I was in the suburbs. I wasn't that far off. But oh my God, like my whole
on the road, look on the highway that had no bicycle lane.
Oh yeah, when
or
I'm saying
or shoulder
or shoulder, yeah.
That's why it was in Twin Palms. Yeah. That was nuts out there.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this, the 599th episode of the Nate Darling Show. If you want to help support us, the best way to do it is to hit that Shop Amazon tab at the top of NateDarlingShow.com. Anytime you want to buy something from Amazon, because it helps support the show and it does not cost you anything extra. Coming up on Friday, it's show number 600. Do I have something special planned? No. Not really. Nah, we're going to have a fun time. We're recording that next. Almost 7 years of the show. And we'll get into what all that means on Friday's episode. Until then, enjoy the rest of this Maroon 5 song. And by the way, this is Cardi B, if you hadn't heard her before. Bye.
Tired amateur idiots.